This is the Michael K. Show.
Only one time zone for the country, and the real feel should be the temperature. Those are the two things that I would run on if I were trying to be a president.
Your one time zone for the country, it makes no sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. Go with the central time zone for everybody.
But it's going to be a completely different day in California than it would be in New York. I know this is new to you. You didn't find out about like time change until
I'm just saying it's a two-hour shift, but at least we're all going to be on the same time. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm sitting there doing a post game till 1:30 in the morning. So let's all be on the same time. But there's electricity.
Is this the whole world, President?
Listen, I can only control what I can control.
That's right.
I became president of the United States, all right?
The Michael K. Show.
You saw what Ken was pulling.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Wow, what a first hour. And now we continue it with one of the greatest columnists, sports columnists in this country, and a great writer as well in terms of books. He's got a new one coming out in February on Coach K. How fortunate that it's his final year, so book sales will go through the roof. Another wing on the house of the O'Connor family. And Ian O'Connor of the New York Post joins us now. Ian, how you doing?
Michael, guys, good to be on. Thanks for having me.
So, in reading your stuff the last couple of all year, really, it sounds like you do have a decent relationship with John Mara. So that's today's column, and that is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on. What's he doing here? What's the holdup?
That's a good question. I don't know, because I think Michael, Joe Judge made the decision for him Sunday. So John Mara, as you know, is an owner who looks for reasons to keep people, not fire them. He did basically promise that he was going to show patience here with this young coach. Patience maybe he didn't show with Ben McAdoo in particular, also Shermer, who didn't deserve it. And you can argue McAdoo didn't either. But I think, I know you talked about it earlier on the air, three times in a row, two and out. Well, who cares? I don't know one Giants fan who would be upset that, hey, we've had three coaches in a row who got fired after 2 years. Well, guess what? Stop hiring bad coaches then. And I don't think what happened to McAdoo or Shermer should have any bearing on this situation at all. Joe Judge took the decision out of your hands on Sunday and made it for you. So all you have to do, as I wrote today, is sign the papers and move on.
Yeah, Ian, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So no, I don't have a good answer to that question. I'm sorry.
And because there is no good answer. I mean, I can't imagine what the holdup is. But what frustrates me is, all right, all we heard for the last month is they're bringing him back. They're bringing him back. They're bringing him back. And then Adam Schefter had that report before the Philly game. They're leaning towards bringing him back. Look what's happened since the Philly game. I mean, if you were leaning towards bringing him back, wouldn't you lean the other way after getting embarrassed in the second half to Philadelphia? A no-show against Chicago, who, by the way, fired their coach after the season ended, and the debacle on Sunday against Washington, plus these post-game press conferences. My God, if he was leaning, if that report was accurate, and I have no reason to believe it wasn't, then what could make him lean towards keeping him after everything that's happened since Philly?
Yeah, Don, I think that report was accurate. Adam Schefter's batting average, as we all know, is excellent.
Yeah.
But I do think the Giants source did everyone no favors there, particularly Joe Judge, by leaking that out when there were still three potential humiliations on the horizon, which is exactly what happened, and three more chances for the fans to be outraged that he was coming back. So, listen, Tom Coughlin, obviously that was an entirely different deal after the 2006 season, when they debated for 2.5 days whether or not to fire him. And I'm meaning John Mara mostly, and also Steve Tisch and Jonathan Tisch. But Tom Coughlin had done some big-time winning at the college and pro level, at Boston College, Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. He was an assistant on the Parcells staff that won a Super Bowl. And he'd won a division title in his first 3 years with the Giants. He had posted an 11-5 record. And they were 8-8. They lose a playoff game. Second year in a row, they go one and done in the postseason. And those are the glory days compared to this. But Tom Coughlin was a fairly, I think, easy call because of the winning he had done before that point. Joe Judge has done nothing as a head coach. He hadn't been a head coach on any level until he got this job. And I was a Joe Judge fan. And really, up until 3 weeks ago, I was on board. I was one of the people who said, yeah, let's give him a year three. I actually still believe in his vision. I think he had the right idea of what Giants football should be. The vision of it was accurate, at least in my mind, and I think in the minds of many others. But he has surrendered the job. He has fired himself. And it's unfortunate. John Mara had given him the 2022 season. He handed it right back. And now all you have to do is make it official and go hire a new coach.
What do you think's for you, Ian, what's personally the most egregious thing in the ways that he's given it back over the last couple of weeks?
Peter, I could have lived with the manifesto from the podium after the Chicago game.
Okay.
I can't live with what happened. I can't live with what happened if I'm a fan Sunday. To do that, well, here's the thing. Here's a guy who's no longer a rookie head coach. This is now his 33rd NFL regular season game. After 33 games or 32 and a half games, you thought it was okay to do that to that fan base. That fan base has been through hell for the better part of 10 years, certainly the last 5 years, and all of this year. You thought it was okay in a half-empty stadium at about to be 4-13, that was okay in your 33rd game as an NFL head coach. It wasn't your fourth game, and you're no longer a rookie head coach in the NFL. To me, that shows a shocking lack of awareness and judgment, no pun intended, that Judge thought that was okay. And I think, Michael, you might have said it earlier, not one person has defended it outside of Joe Judge. And so I think, to me, that was the ultimate fireable offense at the end of a 4-13 season. If you take that away, listen, I wouldn't be thrilled with him coming back. He lost me in the final 3 weeks. The blowouts were getting more and more oppressive. And I understand Mike Glennon can't play and Jake Fromm can't either. And you can thank Dave Gettleman for that. He's no longer here, so he's not going to pay the penalty for that any longer. But I don't see a way back for Joe Judge. It's a shame because I do think his philosophy – as far as building a physical Parcells and Coughlin-like team, weatherproof in December to play in the NFC East in that stadium, that all made sense. I had a phone conversation with him once where I asked him about Belichick and Saban and being a disciple of both, and he really veered away from that. He said, I want to talk about Bill Parcells and Tom Coughlin. I want to be associated with those people because they won championships with the Giants, playing football the way I believe it should be played. And really, He felt very genuinely about that. I could tell. He didn't really want to talk that much about Belichick and Saban anymore. Let's talk about Parcells and Coughlin. And he told me he was inviting Coughlin to be an honorary captain for the coin toss for the opening game. I don't believe Parcells made it for that game. I believe he came to a later game. But so I like that. I embraced it. I love the fact that even though he was a Philly guy, he was talking about making a real connection with the blue-collar people of New York and New Jersey, and he wanted the team to represent what the region represented. And he did the exact opposite. He built a team that was soft, and he also quit on his players and on his fans on Sunday. And I do not know how you come back from that.
Is there a case to be made, though? I mean, you say you like his theory about building a Northeast team, but off the 2 years that you've seen, is there a case to be made, Ian, to keep him?
Well, if you want me to be his agent now, I would say Gettleman screwed me by giving – listen, the backup quarterback position on a roster is probably the second most important position for obvious reasons. Quarterback is 80% of the sport, so when your starter's hurt, you have to have somebody who can actually win an occasional game, and they didn't have that. So you can make that case. If I had Daniel Jones, we would have been 7-10. You could say, well, listen, if you look at the pool of candidates out there, outside of Brian Flores, although I think Brian Flores is a great candidate, it's not the most inspiring group I've ever seen. You could make that case. You could still go back to year one. Hey, year one wasn't terrible. We were in it until the last week. It was a COVID year. I understand it was a COVID year for the rest of the league, too. But you like the way we finished out? Okay. Year two was terrible, but I've only had one terrible year out of two. So please give me year three. But I think the case for him is really pretty thin. And I don't think I did a very good job there of articulating it. But I just don't see him coming back from that in this market. I mean, I can't remember the last time 99.9% of the fan base was so against something. And John Mara is somebody who does listen to the fans and to some degree maybe to the news media. But in this case, I think it's a non-starter, in my opinion anyway.
And it sounds like I have fun picking on them, Ian, because – but I don't. I got this from my dad. My dad got it from his dad. I mean, being a Giant fan has been handed down three generations. It pains me to see them going through what they're going through. But when you really break it down, and you've been around this town forever, and you cover this team, and you know that family, do we hold the Giants on a pedestal they don't belong to be on? Because let's face it, they were burning tickets under Wellington when they first moved to New Jersey. You know, people upset about the way the franchise run, flying planes over the building. Really, since the merger, their only success is because of, you know, basically three people: Parcells, Young, and Accorsi. So are we wrong to hold John Mara and even his dad up to be the greatest football people of all time? They're good people. I think they had their heart in the right place with the league. But really, what would they be without Young and Accorsi?
Well, you can add some other people in there too, Don, Lawrence Taylor, and a few other people.
No, Parcells, but I understand that. But Young drafted Lawrence Taylor, right? Young hired Bill Parcells.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, and Young was forced upon them by Pete Rozelle. The point is, I'm saying, is that the Duke is on the football, and we judge the Giants as being a flagship franchise. But when you see the meltdown that's happening with John, when you see what they were before George Young and after Ernie Accorsi, honestly, were they just, you know, good owners, good people, a family business that just happened to get it right twice? And before Young and since Accorsi have gotten it nothing but wrong.
I think perception in terms of where they benefit in this market is when they're measured against the Jets and their ownership and the fact that they haven't even appeared in a Super Bowl since man stepped on the moon, and the Giants have appeared in, what, 5-1-4. And so I think they're elevated perhaps in that in-market comparison. That does them a lot of favors. I will say this about John Mara. It wasn't that long ago when we all thought, we've been around long enough to remember when he won two Super Bowls in a five-year period and could have won three, their best team, without the Plaxico incident. Tom Coughlin told me he thought they were winning the Super Bowl that year, and that's not something that Tom Coughlin would ordinarily say, but there was a time not too long ago when John Mara was considered one of the best owners in the NFL. Why? Because he had a good general manager, he had a good head coach, and he had a good quarterback. Now he's a bad owner because he had a terrible general manager, now gone, a bad head coach, who should be gone, and an injured, we're not sure what he is, quarterback. So they just have to get back on track, and it's taken too long to get to this point. I'll say this, too. If they made the right decision in 2018 with the second overall pick, and had they taken Josh Allen instead of Saquon Barkley, we wouldn't be having this discussion. The whole franchise would look different. Everything goes back to that pick and holding on to Eli too long, which is connected to that draft because they waited a year too long for their quarterback. And I do know a personnel executive who thought that Josh Allen should have been the number one pick, and really felt the Giants should have taken Josh Allen at number two. And that one decision right there, I don't believe we're having this conversation had they made the right choice in that draft.
And that was John's decision. Would you agree?
To go with Saquon Barkley?
Yes. I think John wanted to get Eli another ring. I'm not defending Gettleman and what he's been since then.
I think Gettleman wanted to pick Saquon Barkley. I do think John – there was a sort of a romantic connection to Eli, no question about it. Yeah, if you want to hit him on that, then I think it reminds me a little bit of Hal Steinbrenner at the end, and Michael, of course, knows this better than anyone. He told Brian Cashman with Derek Jeter, I do not want him embarrassed. I can't have him hit Nate. And so he protected Jeter a little bit at the end, and you can understand why. Of course, Jeter won five titles and Eli just the two, but I do think there was a little of that, if not a lot of that, with John Mara and Manning and understanding this guy has meant so much to us. Let's hang in there with him and try to just get him one more crack at it. And they fooled themselves into believing he could do it. Unfortunately, then they waited too long. And I think Daniel Jones has a lot of physical talent. And maybe he'll end up being a good quarterback if he can stay healthy. But that's the biggest talent, right, is the talent of staying on the field. Eli Manning had that. Tom Brady, of course, has had it to the nth degree. And Jones does it. But had they made the right pick in 2018, believe it or not, Dave Gettleman might still be the general manager of that team.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Ian O'Connor, New York Post columnist, is our guest here on the Michael K Show. I'm going to just veer off just a bit because I'm curious about this. I'm in my office here, and I'm looking at your book on Bill Belichick. And then I look at the history of Belichick's coaching tree. And, Ian, the guys that offer his coaching tree, they're not just failures, they're colossal failures. Now, Brian Flores looks like he's an outlier, but people have failed in ways that we can't even imagine. Why? Why? I mean, obviously, Belichick's a great coach. Is he holding something back from them? Is he not telling them the secret sauce? Or are they all trying to be Bill Belichick and they're not him?
What he held back from them, Michael, is when they left, Tom Brady didn't go with them. And I remember asking Floyd Reese, the old NFL executive, he was with the Patriots and Belichick for a little bit. And I asked him that question. Why are these guys failing left and right around the league? He said, because they're not bringing Bill and Tom with them. And it's so simple, but true. And I do think in some cases, Mangini, Matt Patricia, a couple other guys, maybe McDaniels in Denver, they tried to act way too much like Belichick, which is fascinating because Judge doesn't try to act like Belichick, I don't think. I've never seen a head coach do more talking than this guy,
yeah.
Which is good for our business, right? It's good for us. So I don't want to discourage him from doing that. But you have to say, as much as people tell these guys when they leave, don't try to be Bill, don't try to be Bill, don't try to be Bill, maybe you should be a little bit, if you're Joe Judge, a little bit more like Bill.
Well, it's funny because I read Wickersham. I read Wickersham's book, Ian, as well, and he has a quote from Mike Lombardi there. He said, you know why these guys don't succeed? Because they're not Bill Belichick. He said, it's not the system, it's the man. He said, he could bring in anybody and have assistants around him, but it's his brain that makes this work. Nobody else could make it work like him.
Right, and he has a great staff, too. And you wonder if the Giants hired Josh McDaniels instead of Judge, Where would this program be right now? Josh McDaniels is the best offensive coordinator of his generation of coaches, I think, without question. And certainly if Bill had lost him from that staff, it would have hurt him more than losing Joe Judge. So that was an interesting decision on a lot of different levels, the Giants hiring Judge. And I think it speaks to Judge's ability to persuade people to do things with his communication skills, his ability to talk. He's a great talker. So he's in these meetings yesterday and maybe today selling that vision one more time. He talked his way into the job once. He might be able to talk his way back in a second time. And I think Brian Flores is a really, really good candidate. I think he's a better head coach certainly than Joe Judge. He's out there. He's available. He's from Mike Tyson's neighborhood in Brooklyn. to me, that's the problem now that you got Judge sitting there and Flores is getting interviews and you know he would – this Giants job, I talked to somebody today who's very close to Brian Flores. There's no question this Giants job would be at the top of his list, but he would never say anything like that because he's friendly with Joe Judge. They work together, have a good relationship. He certainly is not rooting for Joe Judge to be fired. But Flores is out there, and if you're going to wait 2 weeks to hire a GM and then let the GM make the decision on Judge, I think Flores will be off the board, and that's a shame.
As far as general manager is concerned, have you heard any conversation about Scott Pioli?
No, I haven't. So I don't think they'll go that route, and I think that the Patriot executives, those who were with Bill, Monty Ossenfort, I believe, is the one who would get the job, not Scott Pioli. Mm-hmm. And Ossenfort will be interviewed, and I think he does have a relationship with Judge. And also John Robinson, another former Patriot, hired him in Tennessee. So Ossenfort has been with two really good programs that do a lot of winning, some winning in the postseason, a lot of winning in New England, some in Tennessee, physical football. So I actually think he would probably be a guy that has a real shot at this job. Joe Shane in Buffalo, I was talking to a Giants source a couple of weeks ago and asking about that GM list, and Shane was the first person he mentioned. Then all of a sudden, he's the first candidate ID'd for an interview yesterday by Schefter, and I didn't think that was a coincidence. I think Joe Shane might be the leader, the early leader in the clubhouse. I don't know that definitively, but he's going to be a factor in this race, and I think Monty Ossenfort would be the lead expatriate in the mix, if you will, as far as getting this job.
All right, so you got the Coach K book coming out. When is the exact release date?
February 22nd. Of course, it's available on Amazon right now for pre-order.
Of course.
But, hey, he did sort of do me a favor by deciding to coach one more year. Had he just retired and stopped, that would have hurt the book, certainly. But Duke's really good, too. They have a chance to maybe win it all. We'll see how it plays out.
Does he help you with the book? Did he help with the book at all or not?
No, I'll say this. I did talk to him about it, and he said, listen, he had some thoughts of writing one after he retires. And I think it was a nice way of him saying, why should I give you all my stories for free? Which is actually, I don't have a good answer to a very good question. But he didn't try to block anybody. Belichick, when I did the Belichick book, he had people called and he was lobbying people not to talk to me. And so he created a lot of obstacles I had to work around. Krzyzewski did none of that, to his credit. He didn't owe me that, so I appreciate it. And so I was allowed to talk to the friends he grew up with in Chicago, all of his best friends in coaching, and some of his adversaries as well, of course. And so hopefully people see it as the definitive account of his life.
Now, I've got one question to ask you because you're not promoting the book yet. In all your research, all the people you talk to, he almost seems to me, Ian, too good to be true. Is he a legitimately good guy?
That's a great question because – I think he's lived a great American life. I think he's a great leader, good husband, family man, no question. But great leaders are generally not nice guys. Right. I would not call him – I think he's a good man, but I wouldn't call him a nice guy. Would you call Steve Jobs a nice guy? Bill Belichick a nice guy? No, but they've lived great lives in different ways, and I think Mike Krzyzewski has. But he has flaws. I explore them in the book.
Oh, okay, tell us some. I need some. I want some.
Buy the book.
Peter does not like Coach K.
Yeah.
Yes, I didn't get a call for the book, Ian.
Do you have $28?
Yeah.
hey, Don, I didn't even tell you this off the air. This is breaking news, by the way. You ready?
Yes.
Ian and I are in discussions where Ian's going to write the Michael K. book. So he's already written one Mike K. book. He's going to write another Mike K. book.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Was just not sure when it's going to happen.
Holy crap.
I thought I was a co-author with Jack Curry. Is that,
yes, of course.
Of
course. Right. Yes.
Okay.
But then you told me that Jack was going to do research.
More authors than people
will
read
the
book.
Jack will do the research, right? Oh. And Michael, that is a top 5 New York Times bestseller, your life story. And I mean that. I mean, I think that is a slam dunk top five NYT bestseller.
No, in all seriousness, when you consider, you know, grew up in the Bronx, wanted to be the Yankee announcer, goes to college with the guy who wanted to be the Knick announcer, and they both get there. Come on, that's a chapter and a half.
Well, you just told the whole book.
Did you just hear Ian Don's nasty little comment? It might have flown by where I said that you said that you and Jack are going to write the book, and he said that's the first book that would be written where there'd be more authors than readers. That's what our friend Don just said.
It was too easy, Ian. Come on, you know how I feel about Michael.
Yeah.
Ian, but I do think that is a big book that will sell, no question.
Well, you know, from your mouth to God's ears, but not yet. I'm not even close to Dunny, and I got a lot more to do.
Oh, no.
Mel Brooks waited until he was 95, so.
After Michael and A-Rod, after 6 weeks, have a fiery explosion on ESPN, that show erupts, that's when you drop the book, Michael, right after that.
So we're going to have a fire explosion on the air, Peter. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to come out. Everything's fine, ho-hum, blah, blah, blah. And then one day you're doing an interview, and all of a sudden you guys start fighting the whole show. He walks off the set. The whole thing is ruined. The next week it's hosted by me and Don. The whole thing plummets. They cancel it. Then the book comes out.
Yeah, sounds good. Ian, great column today in the Post. Thank you for giving us some time here today.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Take care.
You got it. It's a great Ian O'Connor.
He's great.
And it also tells you what Don thinks of me. It really does.
Come on. It was low-hanging fruit.
When you grab the low-hanging fruit.
I'm the only one of the four, including you, that read the Center Stage book.
I read the whole book. I wrote it.
Only because you had to do the audio book.
No,
I sat there, bought it, read it. Peter, did you do it? Peter, did you buy it and read it?
Read some.
Oh.
That's it. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you.
I read the whole thing. In fact, I read it three times.
Don reads so many books, though, Michael, it's barely even a compliment. I mean, that's how much reading this guy's doing.
He does read an awful lot. It's almost uncomfortable.
How is it uncomfortable?
It really is, because to what end? What are you trying to prove, really? Why don't you get into some, like, coffee clutch book club, too, and just discuss it with people?
I like to read, and I'm not an intelligent person, but I want to change that.
And reading the Booger biography, that'll do it.
That's it.
You know, I love movies, and he's been in some movies that I absolutely love. Better Off Dead's a classic to me. He was in that movie.
But he's known for what? Porky's, right?
No, Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds. And not exactly like Casablanca.
Well, there's a big difference between Revenge of the Nerds and Porky's.
Yeah, right? Seriously. One is only about TNA, and the other is a real film.
Yeah. Yeah, with a real story arc.
Which is an award-winning show. He was in Risky Business, which is a classic.
But, I mean, you spent, like, at least 2 weeks of bathroom visits reading about his life. I don't know if that's worth it.
I found it to be worth it.
What's the guy's name so everybody knows to read the book?
Curtis Armstrong.
A.K.A. Booger. We'll come back. Phone calls 1-800-919-3776. Also, Joel Sherman had a very interesting column that's been posted on the New York Post website, and I want to throw it out to Don and Peter. I don't know if they've seen it, but
I saw.
And I want to see what our fans think, too. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.